Absolutely. You got a woodpecker call to locate anything you get. We've heard a lot of
conditions. Stay with them.
Stay with them.
And listen to them drumming. And
oh,
just,
my goodness. Say something about that drumming.
You got to tell them about
it. Oh, man, we had three different birds at three separate. The drumming was so loud that it rattled your bones.
Yeah.
And 2 or 6 o'clock, at least inside 50, just on the other side of the ridge. And he was like, you hear that?
And he never gobbled one time.
Wayne. Never gobbled. Yeah. Snuck in on us. And I think a lot of unexperienced hunters wouldn't even recognize what that was.
Camel boots on my feet, bow in my hand, walking in the early dawn to climb up in my stand.
Redbone, what would you say if I could tell you that you could kill a buck on a certain day?
I would say you're crazy. There's no way to predict how the bucks are going to move.
Well, you're wrong. There's a new camera out called Wise Eye Technologies. These guys can predict the actual deer movement, exact time that a deer is going to come through.
Really? Wise Eye Technology?
This camera has 5 megapixel pictures, has a GPS system built inside, and it's an experience using this camera. It collects data and tells you the movement, wind direction, everything.
On a camera?
On a camera. WiseEyeTechnologies.com.
And how do I find out more information about these guys?
You go to WiseEyeSmartCam.com. I'm using them. You should, too. Make your hunt easier. Use WiseEye.
WiseEye Technologies presents Welcome to American Roots Outdoors. I am calling via phone from the Turkey Woods, and I am late to call in. And I apologize, Wayne Redbone, because we had 3 super jakes in front of us, and we let them walk. But the title of the show this week is going to be How to Hunt Henned Up Gobblers. And do we have a great show for you. We're going to share some of our tactics and strategies that we use. And I've got with me A.H. Marshall with Soggy Bottom Boys, outfitter and guide in southern Illinois and western Kentucky and parts of Missouri also. So we're going to talk about that with you all. But before we do, we want to talk about the current events around our areas and sports. What about those St. Louis Cardinals, Redbone?
Yeah, Cardinals are struggling. And I think there's only one thing to do to make them better.
What's that?
They got to get a new manager. Ollie Marmol has got to go.
I agree. I would agree.
That's just all I'm going to say about that. I'm pretty upset at management and upper management, that is, because they don't want to seem to pull that trigger when everybody except upper management of the St. Louis Cardinals can see that the apparent problem is the manager.
Yeah. So what are some of the points that you see, the weaknesses within the management? What would you say you see?
A change in strategies. The strategies of the game. Case in point, one day last week, I was listening on the radio. It was late innings. They had runners on at first and second and nobody out. They had one of the weakest hitters in the lineup, which right now pretty much is anybody in the lineup, but one of the traditionally weaker hitters in the lineup at the plate. They did not bunt. Did not bunt. That guy hits into a double play. Next guy strikes out. Your thread is over. And anybody that knows, and maybe I'm just still old school, but first and second, nobody out in the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth, when you're trailing by a run, you bunt the runners over. Then at least a fly ball gets you a run. A base hit gets you 2.
Yep.
It seems like they've, and it's all this cybermetric stuff, and Marmol will tell you up front. He's a cybermetrics guy. He's going by what the cybermetrics tell him to do. Instead of what his eyes and the traditions of the game tell you to do. And, you know, I know A.H. is a sports guy. First, late innings, first and second, nobody out. That's all right.
Yeah, apologize. We got a vehicle driving by us right now.
Yeah, that's okay. But anyway, so that's all I want to say about that. I think the manager has got to go.
I mean, that's common sense stuff you learn in Little League of, you know, those kind of when you had that score at that time, and these guys are on these bases, that's what you do.
At least attempt.
I don't even watch baseball. And as soon as you told me where the runners were and what inning it was, I was like, it's a bunt.
You've got to bunt.
You got to move them over.
Got to bunt in that situation. anyway, on the high school scene, you know, not a whole lot has changed since we talked last week, Alex. Good teams continue to win. Average teams continue to go up and down, up and down. And West Plains is now 19-3. I guess they're the best team in our immediate area. They went over to Poplar Bluff and beat a really good Poplar Bluff team. I believe it was 10-0.
Oh, wow.
Went to Paragould a couple of days ago in Arkansas, beat a really good Paragould team in both games of doubleheader. West Plains Zizzers are absolutely phenomenal.
We got to go watch them, guys.
We do.
That's all there is to it. Hey, H, how's your high school teams doing?
Ben, I tell you what, I think Jackson is somewhere around 17-5, and they'll be playing Poplar Bluff in district play. That's mm-hmm. always a good rivalry and a battle. I think Jackson beat Kennett 4-3 yesterday.
Oh.
And Missouri State played Mizzou, and that game wound up being 10-6. My brother-in-law has hit 14 home runs for the Missouri State Bears. But they played Mizzou yesterday. The battle of the two teams, Division I teams in the state of Missouri, was a pretty good game to watch.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, Mizzou has pulled some upsets over the last couple of weeks. And Missouri State's playing much better. They started really slow, but they have really picked it up over the last 3 weeks or so.
Well, you know, it's just like what you said with the Cardinals. Missouri State's hit 58 home runs in their this year as a collective, as a team, but they're losing ball games called small ball. When you get runners in scoring positions, you got to bunt people in the where they can score.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the name of the game. And then you're pitching sometimes. You know, you're pitching sometimes.
Yeah.
In Chanda Bind, and that's from 1A baseball all the way up to Cardinal baseball.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't want to interrupt, but I was really hoping that Steve Gutten would have a phenomenal year this year in his last year as the head coach of the Missouri State Bears.
Hey, he's a legend, living legend. He's a wonderful man. I mean, just a true pillar of society.
Yep.
And he, you know, with this, you know, this draft portal and the transfer portal, I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's just so hard to keep people, you know, loyal to your program, but he has always found a way to win ball games, and to be a coach for that long in the same program, that's just a true statement to his character.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one of the good guys right there.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I want to share something with you real quick, and I don't think I shared it with you in the last couple of weeks, but I got as a youth hunter Richard Kraft and his grandson Scout, and his mama's daddy, his dad's sister married the coach for the Mizzou Tigers football team.
Huh.
So I was guiding somebody famous that didn't even know it. Scout's uncle is the head coach for the Missouri Tigers football team.
Missouri Tigers, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
So had to share that. But, Wayne, have you been out to get the turkey hunt yet? Or
no. No, not turkey hunt. I already have plans with the wife and all the kids, and told them absolutely under no circumstances I am going to be around Saturday morning. So I said, if you guys wake up and you don't see me, I just pretend a UFO took me and don't even bother looking for me. No, Saturday and Sunday morning I have already scheduled to get that done. Alex, I know I got to get over to you and grab a couple of the new mouth calls and that. I got my slates all scratched up and ready to go, and my, you know, so we're ready. I mean, I've been practicing with a rubber band with my trigger finger, you know, getting some exercise for these 2 weeks that I've been off. So it's nice and strong. It'll pull that trigger nice and easy. So, but hey, you know, while we were on sports real quick, I know we only got like a minute here, but I did want to mention the Liberty Eagles girls soccer team. They are still looking for their first win, but they are, again, getting better and better every week. Coach Shelley has really done a phenomenal job of getting them to understand the concept of positions. I think is what I've noticed the biggest change in is that they're understanding their positions and how to play the positions each week. They're getting better and better. They've only got three games left, Greenwood, Dixon, and New Covenant, and then they go to district tournaments after that.
All right, and while we get ready to go to break, also want to say congratulations and good luck to my good friend, Christy Grimes Otter. Christy is taking the job as the head basketball coach for the West Plains Lady Zizzers starting this coming school year. So, Christy, good luck to you. All right, we need to go to break. We'll be back. More American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and his friends in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, this is Michael Water with Bone Collector, and you're listening to my buddy Alex Rutledge on American Roots Outdoors, man. Don't miss an episode.
Hunting off the farm, wishing on some luck. I've been on a big boy for a while. I can load him in the back of my truck. We can take it to a holler.
Hey, turkey hunters, this is Alex Rutledge. Have you heard about Apex Ammunition? If you haven't, they are American-owned, American-made, made one at a time, hand-loaded. These turkey loads will give you the confidence that you need to close the deal on that old Hook Daddy Longbeard gobbler. For more information, go to www.apexammunition.com.
Across the creek of a big old
Legacy Farmland Specialist LLC presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors, segment two of our show. And before we get into the subject of hen-up gobblers, Redbone has some numbers to share with us of the turkey harvest numbers in Arkansas and Missouri.
And apparently MDC just got these posted today, because this morning I was looking for them on the website and couldn't find them. And Wayne and I were sitting here waiting on Alex, who was late. And and all of a sudden we found them.
So here we go.
All right, this was for the first week. Total turkeys killed in the spring turkey season, 28,524. All right, pretty good number. Now, if you combine that with the youth hunt, 32,260. Now, what I want you to keep in mind, 28,524, that's the first week. In 2023, the total for the spring turkey season was 41,977. So we're about, at least about 13,000 birds to be harvested in the final 2 weeks.
I said we're 55% there already.
Yeah, to catch next last season. Looking at some of the counties around the Ozarks, we'll start in Alex's home county, Shannon County, 206 birds. Oregon County, 200. Howell County, 254. Ripley County, 137. Ozark County, 175. Douglas County, at 300. Texas County, 497. Butler County, 101. Dent County, 367. And Cape Girardeau County, at 348. 348 in Cape Girardeau County. Yeah, they're making big numbers in the Cape area. But anyway, 28,524.
What about Arkansas? Did we get any numbers from Arkansas? And
Arkansas does not report until season is over.
Okay, okay. Well, guys, that is pretty impressive. However, our numbers are down from last year, it appears.
We'll see. We're only 13,000 shy of last year, and still got
2 weeks left.
Basically 2 weeks left, so. We'll see what the numbers.
We'll beat it, man. We will beat it. Yeah. Anyway, hen-up gobblers, guys. Everybody knows the situation of hen-up gobblers. Here's what's usually happening. It's actually started in the areas where I've been hunting. I've been hunting Douglas County, Texas County, Wright County, and I never did hunt Shannon. I've not hunted Shannon yet. But anyway, hen-up gobbler is a gobbler, for those of you new to turkey hunting, is a gobbler that's got hens with him, and he's not very cooperative. Some gobblers that hen'd up, they gobble on the roost. When they hit the ground, they don't say another word until the hens leave them. But right now, we're experiencing, in Texas County, AH and I, our morning started off, we're hearing several birds, and they gobble good on the roost. They hit the ground, they gobble good on the ground. We worked gobblers. They was off the property or not where we could get to them. We ended up calling in three super jakes, and that's why we was late for getting on the show. I had them right in front of us at 30 yards. We could have shot them. They had 6-inch beards, early hatch turkeys. But the hen-up gobblers can be very difficult. And when they don't gobble, it's hard to find them. So we're going to share with you some of the tactics we use to close the deal on some of these gobblers. And to kick it off, I want to talk about roosted gobblers that's hen-up. And with you, AH, you do this for a living. You do it every year. You take people in three, four states. So How do you approach a henned up gobbler that's on the roost that you know has got hens?
I tell you what, first of all, you gotta know your turkey population and how well they respond to the caller. A lot of times your mature hens, they'll hear that aggressive hen that they're not used to a competition, and they'll automatically take that gobbler the other way. So you sometimes overcalling can be way more detrimental than just get in there, make some soft tree calls, and then hit your fly down cackle, and then maybe just be quiet and let the morning come to you. Patient kills more birds than anything.
Yeah, early morning turkeys like that Redbone Wayne and AH, I agree with you 100%. What I like to do, if I got a bird loose and I get in tight, 100 yards of the turkey, preferably level or above him, with the sun to my back, if I can. And what I want to do is I'll get in there tight, 100 yards of him, and pick a spot where I think he could fly down, and, you know. And what I do is I go in and I locate him with an owl call, or if the owls are hooting, I wouldn't even use an owl call, you know, because I want to hear if there's any other hunters around me that could be hooting. And I listen before I ever make a turkey call. I listen for those hens talking to that gobbler on the roost. If the hens are talking to him on the roost, that means you're going to have your work cut out for you.
Absolutely. Well, I was just listening to those 7 or 8 counties that you named off, and after hunting with Alex today, I said, I guarantee you my man Alex has killed a gobbler in every one of those counties. A spectacular caller. It's pretty much unfair to go in the woods with a guy like Alex.
You didn't
tell me to say that. I've hunted from New York to King's Ranch, Texas, and I hunted with a lot of people over the years and see a lot of turkeys get killed and just, you know, a wizard. That's where I started calling Alex the wizard. And then I started calling you the wizard.
Well, the thing is, we get back on our subject, and thank you for those wonderful words. I have learned, and there's a lot of excellent turkey hunters out there. I'm not the best by no means, but I love it. I'm passionate about it. But I've learned to talk to them and not call to them. Like the gobblers today, we set up in a strut zone, guys. We walked about a quarter of a mile in a flat spot next to a field, and we're calling to these gobblers, and, man, they're cutting us off. What the gobble, gobble, gobble. We killed a 25.5-pounder 2 days ago in the same spot, Redbone Wayne. And congratulations to Chuck Horn, 65 years old. And the tactic we used to kill that turkey is what we use today to call in these 3 Super Jakes. So both days.
Talk about the Super Jake taking me on the side of that tree and how you calmed them down. That's why I said just your experience and knowing what the Jakes caught me on the side of the tree. The sun was shining on me, and they putted a long neck.
And they started running.
And they started trying to pull out of there. They tucked their wings and were making it. He did a long squeal and then started.
I done a cluck and purr at first.
Yeah.
Then I went to clucking and purring and squealing.
And
it calmed them down. But they run after how far out in the yard?
I say they went 60 and came back to 40. You know, came all the way back. Gave us another
look. Calmed them down. So a hen up gobbler like that, you got to work them easy. Listen for the hens. Do exactly what the hens are doing to create interest in the hens. It doesn't work every time, but when it does work, it's mind blowing.
Really is. Well, I was in Ripley County with Legacy Farm and Land Specialist Agent Ben Craig, and he had me hunting up in the mountains up there, and we got on 2 big ridge runners up there, and as soon as the hens figured out that they had competition and we had to pull a hard flank, and they just took them directly away from us.
It's called a push situation.
That's right.
So what happens is you pushed them too hard, you called too hard and pushed them.
Yes, sir.
You know, today we have seen 3 Super Jakes with 6-inch beards, gobbling turkeys, and 1 hen. But we heard several gobblers, and they gobbled good. But the secret right now is getting close to these turkeys and getting the hens to accept you. Wayne, Redbone?
Yeah, well, I just want to ask, and we do need to go to break here in like 60 seconds, but you go through that sequence and you determine, well, these birds are henned up, and you do get in close. Are they going to stay henned up all day? I mean, if you come back in a couple hours, are the hens going to go away and then the gobblers start looking for other females? And we might want to even talk about that in the next segment. But we really do need to go to break.
Yeah.
So y'all can think about that. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge and his friends in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Preston Pittman, and you're listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and his friends.
in my old pair of hunting boots, passed on down, planted deep in the ground around your heart, so you never gotta worry what the wind might.
Hey guys, it's food plot planting time here in the Ozarks and all across the country. What are you planting this year, Wayne?
I'm going to put some smorgasbord in with a whole lot of clover.
You're going to put some extra clover in it.
What? Smorgasbord? What is smorgasbord?
Man, it is a variety of annuals and perennials that'll get you through fall time, winter time, and all the way into spring.
It's awesome. You want to plant healthier food plots to track all kinds of game? Go to www.eagleseed.com. It's a smorgasbord. You know, we all get tired of certain things. The smorgasbord has everything. Your deer will love it. Eagleseed.com.
American roots.
Hornady Ammunition presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoor, segment 3 of the show. Topic of our show is End Up Gobblers. And joining me today via phone, and we're calling from the woods side of a county dirt road in Texas County where we're hunting. And I've got A.H. Marshall, owner of Soggy Bottom Boys Outfitters. He guides hunts in southern Illinois, southeast Missouri, and western Kentucky. He guides turkey hunters, and this guy is a very knowledgeable turkey hunter, and you said some kind words to me.
Yes, sir.
You got to tell people I didn't pay you to say that.
I'm not a part of the pay program here.
He signed an NDA. We know it.
Yeah, who's buying lunch?
Yeah.
But anyway, hen up gobblers, and we was talking about, will the gobblers stay henned up all day or not?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it depends how far they are in the breeding cycle. So right now, what we are experiencing here in Texas County, we've seen a hen by herself. She left the gobbler. But from all the sign that we saw in the woods where we're hunting, it tells me there's a lot of turkey in here. And that means there's a lot of hens. So not all hens are going to be nesting at the same time. So you can't go really give a definite answer, will the hens leave them? Yeah, the hens will leave them sometime during the day. And when they do leave, that's when the gobbler becomes more vulnerable and more responsive to calling. You agree, A?
Yes, sir. I've seen 12 birds hit the dirt this year, and out of the 12, 9 have been 10 o'clock on.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you is that that midday resiliency and that staying with it and not giving up, the midday gobbler's a lot easier to kill this part of the season.
And this is why I don't let my wife listen to the show, because she'll be like, well, there's no reason for you to be gone all morning. You just have to leave at 10 o'clock. So, you know.
Yeah, she's going to want you to come home and fix breakfast.
You get breakfast going. That's right. No. So that's why I don't let her listen to the show.
Yeah. So, that tells you right there, A.H., you know, killing turkeys at 10 o'clock, a lot of the hens where you're hunting is leaving the gobblers, and they're coming more responsive. So what I want to talk about now is a late-morning gobbler that's henned up. What do you do to stay with a late-morning gobbler? Do you continue calling to him? Do you shock calls like a crow call? What do you use to keep them gobbling? And you don't want to overcall with a turkey call, I assume. That's what I don't. I keep them in check with a crow call, right, Redbone?
Absolutely. You got a woodpecker call to locate. Anything you get, we've heard a lot of Canadian
just stay with them.
Stay with them.
And listen to them drumming. And
oh,
just,
my goodness. How do you feel about that drumming?
You got to tell about
it. Oh, man, we had three different birds at three separate. The drumming was so loud that it rattled your bones.
Yeah.
And 2 or 6 o'clock, at least inside 50, just on the other side of the ridge. And he was like, you hear that?
And he never gobbled one time, Wayne.
Never gobbled. Snuck in on us, and I think a lot of unexperienced hunters wouldn't even recognize what that was, but as soon as it hit and our teeth started rattling, we knew that there was a turkey inside our effective kill range. We just couldn't see him,
right?
You know.
So I guess what I want to share with people, again, I want to reiterate, is if you got a gobbler on the move this late morning and he's with hens and you got him responding to you, if you get calling too aggressive, again, you're going to get in a situation where it's a push situation. You can push him, and all of a sudden the hens take off, and they'll pull him away from you, gobbling going away, like you lit him on fire. So you don't want to cause that situation. You want to call very passive and easy, just like soft yelps like this, and keep it clear and not rasp it. Just real soft and easy. Every calling situation, don't just jump into cutting and yelping right off the bat. These turkeys, there are a lot of old turkeys right now in the woods, and these old turkeys, man, not that you, they don't know a human can make a sound, but they understand because they live in this woods 365 days a year. Most of your hens, how many hens have we heard yelping very loud?
Not very many.
Not any. Every one of them is real clear. Just like that right there. 3 to 5 yelps, that's it. And that's what the hens are doing. So that's what I suggest, that you try in every call location before you get calling aggressive.
Absolutely. I tell you, it's just amazing, like I said, when you go in the woods with another experienced hunter, how you know, those gobblers got lucky today. That's all I'm going to say about that. Cause
it ain't over yet.
We did everything right this morning.
We did. We could have killed. We could have doubled, you know, but for them, what we want to kill.
Well, that last 100 yards, usually what I've seen in your bigger, mature gobblers, if you do get one to respond to your call and he shuts up, gets your gun up and ready. Too many people lay that gun across their lap,
mm-hmm.
and they think that, and they still hen call, and they're giving their location away, and that gobbler's circling up that call, and the next thing you know, your gun barrel's pointed to the 12, and he flanks you to the 3 o'clock, you know.
Yeah.
And so you need to go hush mouth when you know that he's coming in, and just be ready. You know, that face down, that cheek to stock wheel looking down that gun barrel.
Yeah, I agree. Whatever said, that's a great tip. You know, when I get handed a shooter, so if I got a gobbler that's gobbling 12 o'clock as an indicator, I want to be able to shoot left 190 degrees,
yeah.
90 degrees, not 190. And if I'm too far right, I can't shoot far enough left. So what I do, the gobbler's gobbling straight ahead of me. I like to get 2 o'clock of him to the right. That gives me the lead way. And if he goes left, I can go back almost 90 degrees to the left.
Yes, sir. Your hen decoy set up today off the side of the woods. There wasn't any way that gobbler could get up and see that decoy
until he got there.
Until he got there, and there was a gun being able to cover all angles. Yeah. A lot of people put their decoy to where
in the wide open.
That gobbler's looking through the decoy straight at the gunner, and he's picking you up, and he locks up at 80.
Yeah.
You know, I see that all the time.
Yeah.
Right, before we go to a break here, Alex, I'll give you another question to kind of lead us to the fourth segment, the final segment of the radio show here. And that question would be to someone who is an unexperienced turkey hunter, and really not even a turkey hunter, just somebody who likes to hear all the nuances of turkey hunting. It would seem to me that common sense would say, well, if he's henned up with hens, why don't I try to attract those hens to me and he will follow? So I can get both of you guys, I would like to hear what you have to say and how you would go about doing that if you think it's a good idea. And we'll do that right after we take this break. Listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends. We're back in just a minute.
This is Brenda Valentine, and you're listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and friends.
Accurate, deadly, dependable, Hornady ammunition. From a two-man operation in 1949 to a world-leading innovator of bullet, ammunition, reloading tool, and accessories design and manufacturer today, Hornady, each piece is hand-inspected to ensure consistency and quality. Ammunition engineered to perform flawlessly, simply put, the best. Hornady ammunition. Find Hornady ammunition at a retailer near you and at Hornady.com.
Apex Ammunition presents. Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors, everybody. If you have not shot Apex ammunition, you have no idea what you are missing. It's some of the most lethal turkey loads I've ever shot in my life. I watched Mr. Chuck Horn, 65-year-old hunter, shoot a 410 shotgun, Apex turkey load, and kill a gobbler and didn't even flop it 46 steps. So, Apex is the new turkey loads that I shoot.
I know Alex has got this trademark, the proof's in the pudding.
That's right. I do. I say that
all the time.
All the time. So, anyway, to answer your question, how do you hand up gobblers and how should you call to them? You know, and how do you continue to stay with them? Again, you don't want to get in that push situation. We're going to reiterate what we touched on last segment. And this is the final segment of the show. But, again, it's soft calling. And what I do, I may, my initial call to a turkey, if I know he's got hands with him, may be just a soft cluck to see if they'll cluck back. If they don't, then I may go. It's real soft, needy. I'm being, soft and easy. I'm being real subtle, you know, seductive. Then if they answer back, that means I'm controlling those hints. And you remember, the turkey don't have to gobble to let you know he likes what he's hearing. You'll hear him drumming. Like today, every time I would call, the turkey would drum to me.
Heavy,
today.
Heavy.
That's his silent gobble, in a sense,
that's right,
that he's liking what he's hearing. And they usually do that when they're in that comfort zone. We call it the bubble. And it could be 50 yards, 60 yards. It could be 100 yards. But the turkey communicates with his drumming as a silent gobble and the drumming.
Absolutely. Well, when predation is heavy, too, is that they don't gobble to gobble up coyotes. We saw a coyote blow through.
Right.
So coyotes are hearing that as well, and a turkey hits the field, and he's strutting and saying down that he's an easy target for a bobcat or a coyote to sneak up on him. So they'll drum and half strut and to be able to keep their senses and their situation awareness up. So, you know, there's a lot of things like that, just to – years of experience that you gather, but I'll say this, a lot of people walk through the woods and hen call to death, but if you can fire one up on a locator call and get in position and choose your battlefield, that'll kill you more turkeys. And what I mean by choosing the battlefield is knowing if you set up a too thick of cover, he's going to be inside 15, 20 yards,
yeah,
and he's going to turkey eye you.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
So if you don't give away your position with a hen call and you do it with a crow or a woodpecker call or a goose call, they fire off. Now you can get in position and choose your battlefield to get that bird kill where you can actually have a good setup to see him coming in.
Yeah,
that's to your advantage.
That was a great response. Yeah.
Hey, AH, I know one thing that technique that you like to do, and we've mentioned in conversations before, and that is the drop back technique. Why don't you describe to everybody what you mean by that?
Man, it's like the five-step drop in your path comes back, and you lead your gunner up front. And when you drop back, that sounds like that hen's pushing away. And I guarantee you, probably Alex has killed more turkeys doing that. I know I have. In big hills, you know, on your flatlands, the turkeys see the decoys, and then it's pretty much a wrap. But when you're hunting these big ridge runners up here, and you got to be on the same ridge, sometimes it's better to drop your caller back that's doing all your calling and call that bird through your gunner. You agree, Alex?
I agree 100%. The thing is, too, if it's a beginning hunter you got up in front of you, a lot of times it's not good to leave him.
No, sir.
Because he's probably going to end up busting the bird if you can't sit still unless you hide him very well. I usually carry a burlap material with me, and I put it up in front of them where they can just see their head over the top and put them to a tree as wide as their body where they blend in. And again, I want to reiterate and repeat, keep the sun to their back
shadows,
you know, and tell them to keep their gun pointed in a position where they last heard him gobble. And with that blind material in front of you, you can raise your gun up when he turns to strut away or whatever to make the shot. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
If it's a beginning...
Oh, go ahead. Well, I was going to say that, I mean, that is a great technique, especially when you got, how many times we've all run into toms that no matter what you throw at them, they're in their head, they're thinking, I'm staying 100 yards away from wherever that sound's coming from, because nature says she's supposed to come to me, so I'm just going to stay here at 100 yards. And obviously 100 yep. yards is too far to shoot. So like Age said, you drop your caller back 40, 50 yards. Well, now he in his head, he's going to say, oh, I got to stay 100 yards, so I better move 50 yards closer. Which now puts them 50 yards into the shooting range of the gunner right in front.
Yeah. I want to share one more technique with you. If you're hunting hill country and say you located a gobbler and you're going to him
and whether he's on the roost or on the ground, and say you're at the turn of a hill, it's a steep hill. What I like to do a lot of times is locate the turkey. He gobbles and say, I'm 200 yards from him. I'll call to him right there and get him fired up. Then I'll beat it down to this turn of the hill. And I'll get in the middle of that point or that ridge where I can see over the turn of the hill where he can't see me. But what they like to do in this hill country, they'll hang over that rim.
Mid-ridge.
And they just periscope. That's barely see their heads looking over that hill. And if you do that and you stand up behind a tree watering your body and put your gun parallel with the tree, it goes up and down, and wearing head nets and gloves and just barely peek outside the tree, you can see when the turkey's coming to you. And just take a step back from the tree where he can't see you moving and raise your gun up. Then ease out the side of the tree real slow, and you can kill a lot of turkeys that hang up on them limbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great point. I remember you saying how many turkeys you've killed standing up, and it's probably off the crest of the ridge just like that.
That's how I do it.
You know? Yeah. And so that's something to be said. A lot of guys sit down, and then they're
well, he's right there, and I couldn't see him.
Yeah.
Well, because you sat down.
Absolutely. I missed the turkey yesterday at 15 yards.
my brother Jack, by the way, guys, say a prayer for him. Had taken the ER room last night, Wayne Redbone. His gallbladder is about to bust on him.
Oh,
they do an emergency operation on him this very moment. It's Wednesday at 12 o'clock. They operated on him to remove his gallbladder. He was in pain. So Jack is the one that taught me that technique. You know, he said, stand up. He said, get up there and you get them turkeys down. You get to that rim before they do. Let him hang up. You'll be standing up and you'll blow his head off.
Great, great, great advice. That brother technique right there. The technique, Jackson B. Rutledge.
Yeah, guys, before we wrap it up here today, I want to remind everybody this is our final show for the month of April. And remind hunters in Missouri that the application process begins in May for this fall's elk and bear hunts. So if you want to hunt elk or bear, you want to get into the draw, you got to get that done during the month of May. So just want to throw that out there. We only got a couple of days left this month. And also I'd like to go back to something Wayne was talking about and talking about being 100 yards out and that bird thinking, I got to stay 100 yards out from that hen. How do we know that turkeys don't use the metric system?
Well, because we're not northern Canada.
He might be thinking, I need to stay 100 meters.
I'm hoping he assimilated to U.S. standards here.
Hey, that all depends on what way he turns his head.
Yeah, that'd be exactly right.
Well, guys, I need to share with you how my season's been so far. I spent several days in Douglas County hunting bucks and beards, and I took two different hunters over there, and actually three hunters over there, and we killed two gobblers at Bumps and Beards. A big shout out to Richard Kraft for killing a 22, 23 pound gobbler, a big 10 and a half inch beard, inch and a quarter spurs. He killed on opening morning, great footage. Hunter number two would be Mr. Jack Whittle, 76 years young, and he missed a big gobbler with me right off the bat. And later that morning, we got him one, and he killed it about 11 o'clock in the day. And two gobblers come in, double beard, and probably 22, 23-pound turkey, 10-inch beard and a 6-inch beard. And my third hunter, Mr. Chuck Horn, we killed it in Texas County. And that weighed 25 and a half pounds, guys, and had a 10-inch beard, inch and an eighth spurs. He was a true warrior. When we killed this gobbler at, I knew he was the dominant turkey. He ran a gobbler off that we called in. We was getting ready to shoot it. And he gobbles right on top of him. That turkey takes off running that we was getting ready to shoot. And I knew what was happening. And he comes up there and he shoots him at 46 steps, 410 with apex ammunition. The point I want to get across to people, hunting our hand up gobblers, if you'll stay in a location before we wrap up segment four here, where you heard a lot of gobbling, even though these turkeys are 400, 600 yards away and they're cutting your calls off, stay put. Stay right there. Don't be walking through the woods trying to get on them. Stay right there and stay put. And it worked again today, even though we called in three Super Jays. You're not walking through your property, busting these hens, scaring all the turkeys off your property. And you should, if you've got the patience to wait it out,
sooner or later, there's going to be a gobbler show up there, especially if Drew's calling in a lot of them.
That could have been 3-foot-long beard gobblers that popped out.
They were gobbling so heavy today. We really were having a hard time keeping up with the direction of the gobbles. It was just 360 degrees around us. We had turkeys hammering around.
Wow. Good problem to have.
Yeah. All right, guys, we need to wrap it up.
Good problem to have.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to wrap it up. We are out of time.
All right, guys. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, and thank you, AH, for coming and turkey hunting with me. And we're running a turkey camp in Western Kentucky over there, and we've got a couple of openings here. Anybody's interested between now and Saturday, we'd love to take you. And 3-day hunt, 2 gobblers. Be sure to message me on Facebook or AH Marshall, Soggy Bottom Boys, to book your hunt with us. We'll feed you good, and I promise you're going to be on a lot of turkeys. And remember, share the outdoors with a child or somebody that's never been in the outdoors. It's God's creation. He gives us that right to hunt these animals and partake of. And always remember, teach your boys to be men, your girls to be ladies. And Wayne?
When your roots run deep and strong,
there is no reason to fear the wind.
So you never got to worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
Still till it's time to shoot American Roots. Take it to a holler. Take it to a field across the creek up a big old hill.
Do you want to sell your land? Do you want to buy land, hunting land, farmland? Contact Legacy Farm and Land Specialist LLC. Ryan McKinley, tell us about Legacy.
Legacy Farm and Land Specialist LLC is based out of Poplar Bluff, Missouri. We service all the state of Missouri. We're opening up an office in Kentucky. Come and see us.
There you have it, folks. Legacy Land and Farm Specialist LLC. Buy, sell, auction. Ryan McKinley, 573-683-1449.
In my old pair of hunting boots, passed on down, planted deep in the ground, around your heart, so you never got a...
Eagle Seed presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors. This is our bonus segment for our show. If you're listening to this, this is for the podcast. And I just want to say this. Good food plots hold wildlife. Eagle Seed makes some of the best blends of food plots out there. I planted this spring my smorgasbord, and I usually plant it in August for the fall, and it's doing really good. The deer are pounding it, and I encourage you, if you want to hold turkeys and deer on your property, plant food plots. That being said, I'm going to turn it over to Redbone and Mike Crace and Wayne Locke and A.H. Harris talking about midday gobblers to late evening gobblers, how to kill hen-up gobblers midday and evening.
So what we're talking about here, you've got public hunting birds and you've got private property. And if you're hunting private property, you can go in and start scouting these birds and kind of find them where they prefer to roost all year long, 365. You're always learning new things when you – but public hunting, you can go off topo. And, you know, if you're just
– on it.
So you go in and you look at your topo and see your elevation or where a creek runs through off a high ridge that drops off into your fields – you know that there's probably going to be, so start your scouting there. You find a bunch of scratching and, you know, the tips of the turkey's wing feathers. A lot of times when they pitch
strut
up.
Marks.
Yeah, or strut marks.
And loose feathers.
So loose feathers on the way to pitch up. And if you find 3 or 4, then they prefer that area. Yeah. And I've seen that a lot in the woods. There's a bunch of scratching by big oaks off of a bluff next to a creek with you know, 3 or 4 wing feathers right at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
And that's just where they prefer.
So you're saying find the roost sites even during midday.
Even during midday. They're
not going to be that far from the roost sites.
They're going to work back to it.
So midday, we're talking from noon till dark.
That's right.
Okay. Then late evening would be, say, 5 o'clock to dark.
That's right. But, you know, I've heard people say an older gobbler
bites the roost in the same vicinity time and time again. And these big woods turkeys, man, they can roost anywhere, you know. But I would say that that would be pretty accurate when you're hunting 80-20 tillable to timber, and they don't have many places. So it's hard to say how that's going to lay out for you. But I will say this: if you can cut that gobbler off, because he's going to leave them hens before fly up every single time. You just see them; they part ways. We just got on some birds down there in Mississippi County. The gobblers were roosted 400 to 500 yards away. He watched those hens go to, he knew exactly where they were, and we set up in between them, and we killed a bird in the first 15 minutes because we cut them off.
So what you're saying is, I want to reiterate,
yeah,
get in between the roost sites and the hens where they want to go.
You're going to get on.
You're going to go.
There it is.
Right, Redbone.
Yeah, I find that very interesting and did not know that the hens and the gobblers do not roost in the same spot.
They not all the time. They will sometimes. They'll be close sometimes. But
depending on the terrain and the situation, predation, predators, human, et cetera.
Yeah.
And plus, if you have 400 acres of pasture and 10 acres of woods, it tells you where they're going to be. But
That narrows it down.
You know, another thing that you can do as a hunter when, you know, come midday and you get up, you know, you struck out in the morning and you're like, okay, I'm going to walk around and see if I can locate these birds again. Pay attention to bases of trees. Look for droppings.
Yep.
Because if you can find a tree that has like an inch and a half of droppings, guess what you just found? Yep. A gold mine. Mark it. Remember it.
That's right.
That's right. Mark it and remember it, because if you don't kill mid-morning, I'd boogie back on over to that tree somewhere near it, and you'll probably catch him returning, you know, for the evening there.
That's a great point, actually. The turkey droppings there. A lot of turkey droppings in a fly-up area. That's a tall tale sign right there that's a great roost spot.
And also droppings in log roads, et cetera, and open spots tells you it's strut zones. If you find a lot of J-hook droppings, that's a long beard or a gobbler, and it's a great location to set up for these midday gobblers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you spend a lot of droppings there, he spent a lot of time there, so... And look for dusting sites, bowls.
Oh, dust bowls.
You know, dust bowls is a place where hens will frequent, and they actually roll in the feathers and their wings, and put that dust on them helps control the mites and cools their body off, too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, so if I'm, now let me go into just a little bit more into this, finding these spots where these birds are likely to roost. All right, you found the droppings, you found the scratching, you found the dust bowls, everything. So are you going to set up then in an ambush situation? Or are you going to set up there, and are you going to call?
Well, I set up in a situation to kill the turkey, of course. But, again, I'm going to use the technique, calling very passive, very subtle,
okay. And
muted in low calls. Don't get aggressive. What happens is when you get aggressive, repeating, it pushes the hens. They don't want to accept you, especially if they're close to a nesting area. They don't want to hear another hen in the area. And it could aggravate some of them to come in cutting and yelping. And I've seen them do that, too. So they go to cutting and yelping. You do the same thing. Challenge them. And that fires an old gobbler up, and he knows that other hen sound. You're a new hen in there to him if you don't sound like her. And it could spark interest and help you close the deal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, two things I want to tell. A quick tip, and then I got to... Short story. If we got time, Redbone,
I got just a couple of minutes.
Okay. So a quick tip that a buddy of mine in Ohio told me that he did, and I've never tried it, but it seemed like it made sense and it would work. And I'm wondering if you guys have ever heard this. In the evening, say he couldn't close the deal and it was fly up time. If he knew like the last kind of area that he was able to even hear a gobbler, a tom, you know, or if he knew where the roosting spots were, he'd get close as he could, and he would wait until he heard them fly up. And then he would imitate a fly up with his hat and everything, so that this way the tom, when it's up there, after it got up there, it's like, oh, wait a minute, there's somebody else around my neighborhood over here. And then in the morning when he would fly down, he would go investigate that first. Now, he said he's killed a few birds doing that technique. I've never tried it, but have you guys ever heard of that?
I've done it. You've done it with me several times, Wayne.
No. I mean for the next morning. Not for fly down in the morning, but he did it at night. For the next morning.
I've done it night as well.
Okay.
Yeah. We use that technique often. Yeah. Once you do, you create excitement. I'll go out to them before they made it legal, Missouri,
And I would go out and call him like I'm trying to kill him, even though you couldn't, mm-hmm. and fire him up and make call him in and have him to fly up and make him feel I'm excited in. Next morning, that's all he can think about.
Well, you know, since Missouri's just now starting to get their warm and fuzzies on how to hunt these afternoon turkeys, Kentucky's been doing it for years and years. So
in Tennessee.
In Tennessee. So you really get a good handle on how much easier it is to get on those birds right there that last hour and a half, 2 hours, because they really get aggressive trying to make sure that they've got their hen. If their hen up, they corral their hens close to where it's not such a – and when you go to Ripley County and Texas County, you're like, man, I didn't hear a single bird gobble today. It is the perfect conditions to hear turkeys gobble, and you wonder why that is. There's a lot of different theories, but probably more times than not, that gobbler's already got exactly where he's going and knows what hens he's going to corral up with all first while. He can drum and spit in that tree that morning, and them hens have walked to the base of that tree. Exactly.
Right, right. Hey, and then earlier we were talking about the standing technique that Alex, you know, he likes to use a lot, where you can stand up so you can see over the lip. We had we were in, I think it was Tennessee, 1 year I was filming Alex, and he worked up this time real good. He's like, it's coming in. But there was like a little dip in the terrain. So he was standing behind the tree. Of course, I'm like 20 yards behind him. I'm sitting all camouflaged in, you know, ready, you know, I'm filming away. And he, you know, we're talking to each other. He's like, you got him? You want him? You want, it's right there. You want him? I'm like, no, I don't see, dude, I don't see nothing. And he's like, it's right there. I know, you got to get him. Come on, hurry up, get on. He's going to go away. And he's a big bear. And then all of a sudden he walks away. He turns around and he throws his hat down. He rips his vest off. How can you not see that bird? What is wrong with you? Are you blind as a bat? You need to get your eyes checked. I was like, dude, I'm telling you, I saw not a freaking thing. And he's like, I'll show you how to film a bird. He sat down where I was. He's like, look, you look right here. And he's like, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, you're right. You couldn't see him.
We've made some great
games. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have. But, hey, I know we are out of time for the bonus segment. And, A.H., man, what a blast to have you on. I hope we get you on again here at least one more time before the season's out. And I know we're going to hear from you. Of course, when you're down at Soggy Bottom, we're going to hear from you there. But at the end of the season, I'd like to we can get you on for even just a segment or two for a wrap-up on the end of your season out there. That'd be great, too. So, again, I want to thank everybody for listening to American Roots Outdoors on your podcast. And please share the podcast with everybody. Share the links with everybody. Let everybody know you're having a great time listening to it. And hopefully we can get some more. Little quick FYI, 66 was our rank last week here.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty good. Anyway, H, thank you again, man. You have a lot of knowledge. You want to say something before we wrap it up?
Man, I appreciate you, man, for having me on y'all's show. It's just truly a blessing. Coming from my humble beginnings, I remember, like I said, seventh grade, there's Turkey World. There don't get any better than Alex Rutledge. You know, you got your Duck Commanders and Phil Robertson's. You got your Alex Rutledge's. You got your Marjories in the deer world. But it's been a dream come true to get to hunt with Alex on his property today. And I'm just thankful y'all having me on the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Red Bone. Thank you, Wayne. And guys, remember, I say it every time. Teach your boys to be men, teach your girls to be ladies, and share the outdoors, God's creation. Teach your kids to respect others and to love Jesus Christ. Wayne?
And like we say here at American Roots, when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.